Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show on the Voice of Vachon, located on beautiful Vachon Island, rising above the waters of the Puget Sound between Seattle and Tacoma in the state of Washington. That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's motto was less is more, more or less, and he always offered more. Our Briefly panel includes our big board pilot, real life pilot, treetop flyer, and almost fully reformed Texan, Truman O'Brien.
Thanks. I appreciate that last bit.
Almost. You can hang on to
almost,
a little bit. It's for
you.
Character, you know,
thanks.
A little spice. All right. We've got our legal beagle eagle, consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, ladies shoe salesman, and Fulbright scholar, Craig Bellis.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? And I'm proud of that shoe salesman line. One of my great jobs.
I got that back in. I thought you would enjoy that. All right. And we have historian, professor, party animal, and down under aficionado, Bruce Holman.
It's good to be here.
Always good to see you. And we are missing today Mr. Kevin Jones. He is Kevin is our avid defender of justice, Mariner cyclist, and top secret engineer. Kevin, sending our hellos wherever you are. And I, of course, am Amy Dreyer, part-time Politico and full-time shenanigans coordinator. Today, we welcome to the Briefly the Steering Committee of Islanders for Fair Reaction, the small but mighty group of volunteers working to resolve the crisis on our marine highways. Rick Wallace, Wendy Amon, Beth Lindsay, and the Briefly's very own feisty ferry fighter, that would be me. Welcome. Welcome to the Briefly, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey.
All right, before we jump in, let's take a moment to check in about what special things we've experienced this week, good, bad, ugly, or just entertaining. How about Truman? What about you? What happened?
Well, just a couple of little things. Last week was my wife's birthday, so we had to go out to dinner. Went out to a place that Craig actually turned us on to, Asado over in Tacoma, an Argentinian restaurant.
Ooh.
Really, really good.
Ooh, do you have steak?
I did.
Yes.
And you want to be sure and go to the bank before you go there because it is not cheap, I could tell you right now. The other thing I did that was kind of fun is I met a gentleman who is building an airplane out at the airport, out our local airport here. And he was to the point where he's ready to hang the engine on the airplane. And so he had a couple of us come out and give him a hand. And that was really fun and interesting. Pretty complex procedure. I mean, it sounds easy. You just got four bolts. You
know, I mean, does it sound easy to put an engine in an airplane, or is that the Boeing take?
Yeah, well, there's that. There's that, yeah. Well, it's only four bolts, but it was a little tricky getting the things all lined up. And anyway, that was fun. That was my week.
Excellent, excellent. Craig?
Yeah, the phrase hanging an engine always interests me. Knowing how those hang off the front of at least our plane.
Yeah.
My week's been was quite eventful. Had the morning my morning scramble last Thursday, and I did Women of Folk Music, which was a great review for me. Not only at the classic Baez's and Collins, but a lot of the very brand new young people that are doing folk music. With releases that came out within the last year. On Saturday, I think it was Saturday, I went to see one of our guests from a few weeks ago, David Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins, who was at the Roastery with his friends. They put on a nice show from 11 to 1. And that evening, I went to a party at another one of our former guests, MJ Witt, who now is the manager of CERT on the island. He had his Julefrokost which is a Danish holiday.
Easy for you to say.
Well, it's not easy for anybody to say, I'll tell you, except for MJ. He can say it. But it was a wonderful gathering, about 16 people, and we went around the table telling lies, mm-hmm. Which we do when we get together. So that was the – oh, and one other thing. Lynette, my wife's old roommate, the woman who I met when I met Lynette, the same time, she came out and visited us, and we took her around the island and, of course, went to Oscar. Can't miss that. And this time of year is kind of nice. Nobody there.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, Wendy, did you have anything fun or excellent go on?
Well, keeping with the topic of the day, one of the things I enjoy most about living on Vashon is early morning rides on the ferry. And it was on time. It was a beautiful, beautiful morning. And I was going over to do family shopping and things. But I was appreciative of the moment because the mountains were beautiful. You get the Olympics with the sun hitting it in the morning. And Rainier was sitting there. And I'm just ever so appreciative of living where I do.
Yeah, no, I'll piggyback on that with my highlight, which was coming home this week. I was in Denver all for the holiday, and you know, came home and was sad to leave Denver, of course, because Aaron's there, and came home and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be dark and rainy, and you know, nope. Sure enough, I get down to the dock, you know, just as the sun is setting, and it was a gorgeous sunset. The Cascades were just black against a pink horizon, and the moon was setting with, what is that, Venus up there, yep, right now, shining over it. I mean, it was just, it was really a stunner. It was like, Amy, come on, perk up. So I'm gonna second that about how lucky we are. And of course, as I drove through town, the garland and the candy canes were up, so I got a nice welcome home. Yeah, Rick, what happened with you this week?
I went to Kansas.
What?
Yeah, that's where I was born.
Nobody goes to Kansas.
Yeah, well, the problem with going to Kansas is you have to go to Kansas.
Exactly, yeah.
And I saw my cousins and my niece, who I hadn't seen since my sister died a couple of years ago. Oh, cool. And we had a really nice reunion. It was great. And then I was flying back from Denver, because you can't fly from Kansas directly to anywhere, pretty much, and came in and saw the most amazing view of Mount Rainier. I was afraid the pilot would get distracted and just sort of fly into the side of the mountain. It was like a magnet.
I have to tell you, Rick, real quick. You know, I flew up in Alaska a lot. And very often the trip between Anchorage and Fairbanks, we'd go by Mount Denali, or McKinley, yeah, as it used to be called. And very often I would get clearance from air traffic control to make a turn around it. And we just make a circle around it, a good 5,000 feet over the top. But it's still, people were knocked out because it looks like you're right there on it. And very impressive. And you're right, you want to just fly right into it. But pretty. Anyway, had to throw that out there.
Yeah. What about you, Beth? Have you been enjoying the view or other things?
Well, this weekend on Vashon, we had a doubleheader, classic First Friday, mm-hmm, followed by tree lighting on Saturday. That was pretty fun. And I was reminded how much Vashon loves a parade. We come out for a parade. And this year there was fake snow. I don't know if anyone saw this, but there was like a blizzard on top of Island Queen, mm-hmm, dusting the whole street. So it was particularly magical.
It's almost as Hallmark as Vashon Halloween. Yeah, that's right. And Bruce, how about you?
Well, let me do a little grandpa sort of bragging. My grandson, Theodore, was one of the gingerbread kids in the Nutcracker. And it was a spectacular Nutcracker this year. But it you sort of saw the emergence of a budding star. The first night, he's one of the kids that comes out from under the skirt, and he's there off to the side sort of directing the others as they dance around. And the first night, he's just swinging his arms back and forth. By the last performance, he had the audience clapping along with everybody. He was taking bows. He was blowing kisses. It's sort of like, somebody contain this kid.
You're up there yelling, that's my grandson?
And, of course, the Seahawks did pretty well.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah. Those Hawks. I mean, it was an action-packed weekend for Vashon Island. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, everything was going on.
And the exciting thing to me about the Winterfest parade is Vashonk. The Vashon. New marching band on Vashon. It's incredible.
I got to steal my trumpet back from my niece, I think, and get in on the honk. No, it was really great, and it's really cool to see. It just feels like the community continues to come alive after COVID, just sort of layer after layer after layer with new creativity, old traditions revived. So that feels really special, I think, to be a part of that. All right. Well, what have we got going on? We have today. Today is December 10th, and it is a significant day, as are all days. But today is the anniversary. It is Human Rights Day, which is a day celebrated internationally to commemorate the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by the United Nations General Assembly in 1948. And as first chair of the UN Commission on Human Rights, Eleanor Roosevelt was a driving force behind the creation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And kind of keeping with the human rights theme today in history, on this day in 2006, Chilean General Augusto Pinochet, whose dictatorial reign in Chile was marked by the murder and torture of political opponents, died while facing charges of human rights abuses. And in 2007, Argentine politician Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner was sworn into office as Argentina's first female elected president. Yet another of the over 60 countries globally that have elected a woman as a head of state before the United States. All right, let's jump into our small talk. This week, we are welcoming citizen activists Beth Lindsay, Wendy Amon, and Rick Wallace. They are the dedicated volunteer steering committee for Islanders for Fairy Action, who are giving obscenely generous amounts of their time to improve Vashon's ferry service, and hopefully ferry service around the Sound. I've gotten to know each of them pretty well over the last year, and a year and change, right? It's been almost not quite a year and a half that we have dedicated our lives to the boats in one way or the other. But we kind of wanted to meet them and share their Vashon stories as we get a little bit of an update as we head into January, of course, kicks off the legislative session. And that is basically a 3-month Super Bowl for everyone around the state of Washington who wants to bring home change and important appropriations for their communities. So we like to, on the briefly get to know everyone a little bit first. So I'm going to kick off and just ask, we'll start with Wendy, how is it that you came to our tiny little island of Vashon?
Well, Amy, we set off to decide where we were going to retire. We had lived a bit of time in New Mexico, and then my husband's work took us to Santa Cruz, California, and it was difficult to leave the sun. But we had decided we wanted to come back to the Northwest, and we raised our kids in West Seattle and up on Cougar Mountain. And Alan always, we brought our kids over here all the time. We started a journey, and it took us about 2 years. And we came to Vashon, and it was like, this was home. It was a community that we hadn't seen in other places, and we wanted a place that we could do our little bit of mini farming, so to speak. We searched, we found, we love being here. So that's how we got here.
Yeah, and you and Alan are both pretty entrenched in the community. You've woven your way in.
Well, Alan is on the healthcare district, and that is, a very interesting challenge for him. And he spent a long time in healthcare management, and so that's, he brings some good skills to the organization.
Absolutely. And I know you've activated the Garden Club. I think of them as these just sort of like warriors out there, like activists waiting to be, waiting to be motivated.
Yes. Yesterday we had our annual Christmas or holiday kind of potluck. And it was a lot of discussion was about the fairies. These women and men, there's a number of males in our group too, and are writing in regards to the Fauntleroy Ferry Dock. They have been quite wonderful advocates for the community, and I appreciate it, and they're appreciative of all the work that we're doing as well.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's time to turn up the volume, Vashon. We're going to start asking you to beat the drum. So, Beth, how is it that you ended up on Vashon Island?
Well, this is our family's 10-year Vashon anniversary. We moved in 2014. We tried Bainbridge Island first, And when we thought we would move there, we were telling a friend, and they described Bainbridge as Bellevue with chickens, which was, you know, kind of a hot burn. So we decided to give Vashon a try. We had friends here, came, and the first day my husband picked up a hitchhiker and drove them all the way to the North End Ferry and stopped at the grocery store. And really, like, that first day cemented our Vashon experience, and we quickly started looking for property after that. We came because we wanted a better school, a better education for our daughter. We were in Seattle, and in the first few years of her life, we were referred to 3 or 4 different schools. We couldn't plan which neighborhood school she was going to attend. Here on Vashon, there's one really great elementary school, one solid middle school, and one high school. So because they're just one school, the community is really dedicated and supportive of them. So we love it here. We came for the schools, stayed for the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Vashon School District, proud pirate right here. I think it's one of the finest in the country. Mr. Rick, how did you get here from Kansas?
Not well. you don't want to know all of those stops along the way. That's a long story. We thought that we came to try out Vashon. We did sort of what you did. We went to several different places. And we thought that we had seen Vashon there's a whole series of books, How to Retire in the Southeast, How to Retire Wherever. And there's one for the Pacific Northwest. And we thought that that's where we found Vashon. One night at dinner, somebody asked this question, which, by the way, is the standard kickoff for every dinner party on Vashon. And so I went to get the book, and it wasn't in there. Hmm? So we didn't get it out of How to Retire in the Northwest. It turns out that when we were doing our sort of exploring, we got sucked into the myth. And the myth was that it was just a hop, skip, and a jump on the water in the ferry to be able to go to the opera or the symphony and, you know, get back and forth. As soon as we moved here, the water taxi was basically went away. It wasn't called the water taxi then, the P.O. boat. Which Craig knows all too well after years of commuting. So we got sucked into the bait and switch of the ferries. That's how we got here.
But it was a good bait and switch. You actually got more than what you thought you might get.
Thanks for that prompt. Yep. We discovered the ritual on Vashon that when you arrive and you're new and you express an interest in the community, somebody walks up and stamps fresh meat on your forehead.
That's right. Sets the hook.
And you end up volunteering for things you never even imagined you'd volunteer for.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, all part of the magic. Mm-hmm. All part of the magic.
And in fact, Craig was one of the things that I got sucked into. He was president at what was then called VAA, mm-hmm. and I ended up on the board. That was the first volunteer
and
gig.
And a great board member you were and continue to be now as you're retiring president or acting president of Vashon. Is that right?
I'm current president.
Current
until Voice of Vashon.
Until?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, all right. We haven't decided on that date
but
yet.
Vashon, be prepared. So I've I've stepped down a lot from that.
You did tremendous work in that area. You've done tremendous work in all of the boards.
It's just perseverance. 20 plus years, sooner or later, you'll get something done.
Show up. That's right. Yeah. Well, that kind of brings me to the next question. It was nice to hear that I'm a Santa Cruz banana slug, so I live down there. Wendy.
I'll have to tell you the story about how the banana slug became in existence.
Oh, I do know, and I think you have a friend who actually was involved in that mascot. Yeah. But we'll want to talk.
Oh, sure.
If we have time at the end, we might.
Sure.
But I'm interested in how the three of you got involved in Islands for Ferry Action. I recall years ago, I had a very, very good friend who was very active, like you three are, Sally Fox, who worked hard to get the county to institute the taxi, the water taxi. How did you get involved in this issue? Who wants to start? Let's do it in reverse order.
Oh, I'm the reverse. Yes. So I'm the rear end.
That's true.
Okay.
I mean, no, that's not true.
I knew where you were headed. Because of the work I was doing with Vashon Be Prepared, there's nothing on the island that touches people more than the ferries. I mean, we're in the middle of the water, and if you had an emergency, if you needed some kind of help, if we had a big emergency on the island, it's the link. It's the universal chain, and it's our weak link. And I just felt strongly that it was something that I could work on that would make a difference. And we are starting to make a difference. I'm glad to say that.
That's great. Yeah. Beth?
I answered Amy's call through the chamber. She was working to form this group, looking for advocates, people who cared. And I'm someone who thinks that if you have no right to complain if you're not pitching in to make things better. So I raised my hand, and here I am many months later.
Great.
And we're glad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I came to this, basically, I was looking for something to get involved in the, I talked to Diane Emerson at the Community Council and just talked to her about different things, and there was an opening for ferry advisory, and I applied for that and got appointed to that. And I quickly learned how difficult it is, given the nature of the FAC, the Ferry Advisory Committee, the way that it's set up with Washington State Ferries, how it's hard to impact any change because you can't communicate with the people you're working with because you have to abide by the public meeting laws, so you can't effectively work. And Amy was getting involved in this, and this just seems like natural. I've been a lifetime advocate for many causes, sometimes patron saint of lost causes. I don't believe it this time. I believe, as Rick said, we've made effective change, and we will continue to do so.
And it really is persistent. And I, you know, could not have been luckier. We also had, you know, when we first started the work, we had Aaron Keeper from Vashon Adventures, who brought great community connections and a great perspective, as did Laura Cherry at Dragon's Head Cider. So we had this sort of really effective working group, and Aaron and Laura have had to step away, as did Cheryl Lubert from the chamber. But, you know, now I kind of think of us when I'm talking to folks out in the community, because we have now started to create this regional coalition, and, you know, folks are saying, how are you doing this and what's going on? I'm like, well, we kind of ended up with this like strike force, right? We have Rick, who's just this veteran of messaging and storytelling, and Beth, who is this veteran of, you know, politics and working with elected officials and advocacy, and Wendy, who brings this deep, deep subject matter expertise, right? So we just sort of have this team that's come together, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about it throughout the hour, but couldn't have been in, you know, one of my favorite sort of expressions is Vashon provides, right? You know, whenever you sort of start to get a little hot under the collar or worried about something, you know, try to take a step back and just trust that Vashon provides. So incredibly lucky that Vashon has provided, I think, this team.
Yeah, let me pick up on that theme and direct this to Rick, but also jump in, Wendy, and if you can. You know, Vashon has a long history with ferries, you know, and of course, Vashon has a long history of activism from the Mosquito Fleet days to the Vashon Vigilantes of dealing with ferry issues. So could you bring us up to speed just in terms of what the ferry crisis, the recent ferry crisis is, and sort of how we got to where we are and why we need you guys?
Well, I started out shoveling coal on a mosquito fleet. Not really. It was diesel. So what's the crisis? The crisis is that we have an unreliable, aging, understaffed service, and that the people are supposed to be helping us didn't see the silver tsunami coming with all of those people retiring, and the pandemic requirements it gave them a really good reason to take their retirement. And so they left. It's not an easy thing to get Coast Guard certified mariners. up to speed, it takes years. So that's a long way away. The boats are aging out. So it takes a long time to build a boat, and we need a whole bunch of them. So that's where we are. I mean, we have all these stories we could tell you, to people who have been stranded on the dock in the middle of life emergencies, kids, our kids on the island, stranded at the dock, trying to get back to the island. That's the crisis. That's the crisis. And it's not going to be very profitable to get angry about it. That helps because you have to have a reason, right, to do something. But what we did is we changed the frame a little bit. And it's made a terrific difference in the last more than a year, as Amy was saying. We had a community meeting in September of last year. Did I have that month right? Is that right? Mm-hmm. And said, okay, we get it. You're angry. We're angry too. But what are your suggestions? And we published literally a book of suggestions. So our calling card now when we're talking to people is give us solutions. And that's a lot of what we're working on. And that's why one of many reasons why we went after getting extra service on the water taxi, because that's something we could do right away. All of those, you know, getting the mariners and building new boats, stuff like that, there's a big difference. And I would say there's a qualitative difference in the way we're perceived at Washington State Ferries. That started to move a little bit. About 5 years ago, with a friend, a longtime Islander, Steve Stockett, we pushed for a study of the Triangle Route and how it could be more efficient. At that point, of course, we were in a crisis. We just didn't know it. We were in a closed room and the water was rising. But at that point, it didn't seem as bad as it is now. And just getting the system to work better with something called the pendulum route. You don't want me to try to explain that on the radio. You can't do it without a movie. It would have made a huge difference. So we went to Olympia, and Steve and I and the fire chief and Cheryl Lubert, we all went there and testified with some backdoor help from friends in the legislature. And we got $250,000 funded for a study of the North End, which the ferry system never used. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody gave me $250,000, I'd probably find a way to spend it. I don't know, Europe, whatever. But now what seems to be happening a little bit, and my colleagues could speak to this, I think they should. We now get listened to a little bit better than we did before. So we just had a big confab up in Mukilteo. Mukilteo's a charming town, where we had legislators listening to us and communities from all over Puget Sound. Mm-hmm. And that's a departure, I think.
Yeah. And Wendy, but if you can add to that too a little bit about the two-boat schedule and, you know, what's coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to say this too, is that I think part of our effectiveness is due to the fact that Beth opened doors for us. Beth got us into talking to the right people at the legislature, and they followed through. So it has been a solution-based methodology that we've used, and legislators have listened to when people like Beth and Amy, too, have gotten the doors open. In terms of the two-boat schedule, you know, the two-boat schedule that we're working under was never meant to be a schedule. It was meant to be, I don't even understand why it was, well, it was a crisis-oriented description of a possible way that you could get two boats between the triangle route, and it has been a disaster. And it took a while, but finally Washington State Ferries admitted to the fact that it wasn't functional. Aha! Now we're 3 years out, and this group decided it was going to be a pretty important thing that we find. At first, Washington State Ferries said they didn't have the funds to hire an additional scheduler or to take that on. So we went out and got the money for it. And now we are in the process, believe it or not, folks, we are in the process of having the two-boat schedule revised.
Wow.
They have hired a consultant. The consultant is working on it. They're going to be putting together a small group of folks I think will be included, and ferry advisory folks and people from the Southworth community. Obviously, they have a stake in this as well. And coming out with some ideas. It's going to be a limited change, is my guess. From listening to them. But we don't want to depend on that. We really want to have three boats. And King County, or I mean, Washington State Ferries is hinting, I shall say this, hinting at a possibility of a return of a third boat, a full third boat by this summer. I would not hold them to this because anything can happen given the status of our boats and our fleets. But I think there is a glimmer of hope, and I believe that they have taken our positive message and tried to instill it in making some changes that will help not only us but other ferry-dependent communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, with that, people ask, why the ghost boat? Why, you know, if we have this boat, why can't we just have it permanently on the route? And, you know, the reality is there are 16, often 15 of 21 boats needed in the fleet, right? So we sort of have what you would refer to as the backup boat that just sort of sails around. So anytime they need to take another boat out of the water, which they often need to do with our aging fleet, right? They have to play, you know, musical boats, and our third boat goes away. But I did want to, while we have the opportunity, you know, folks are always, is the ghost boat running? You do have a way to have a better chance at knowing that now. The new Ferry Friend update, the Ferry Friend app does have a plugin now that will say the ghost boat is probably running or the ghost boat is not running, which is incredibly helpful, right? And, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, that the boat can, we can get a permanent assignment of a boat that can keep up. Part of the reason that it is the ghost boat that folks often ask, why don't they just make it the third boat? The South is too slow. It just can't keep up with our run.
It's the slow boat to Vashon.
It is the slow boat, and the even slower boat to Southworth, but at least the galley's back, right?
Say, could I ask a quick question? Oh, you know, you mentioned the Ferry Friend. Are you folks working with Jordan, the gentleman, the young man who put that together?
I met with Jordan yesterday.
Oh, great.
What a delightful young man.
Isn't he a nice guy? Yeah.
He is, mm-hmm. And he's doing incredible work. I can't believe his commitment. Mm-hmm. He's done this for years, yeah. And he's put together. He's doing algorithms. He's trying to figure out how you know you can anticipate when there's going to be problem times and all this type of stuff. He's doing great work, and I'm hoping to hook him up with some folks at the legislative and Greg Nance perhaps. To talk to him about the work he's been doing, and maybe he could, I don't know if Washington State Ferries will ever listen to anybody that isn't in the group, but he does offer us a lot, and I would encourage all to use a Ferry Friend and also donate to Jordan. He told me, I don't know if I should share this or not, but there's a rather high up.
It's only on the radio.
Okay, that's okay.
That's right. Nobody
is listening. Yeah. Okay, well, there is a high up member of our government in our state that is a member of the Ferry Friend, and
excellent.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
So.
Excellent. Well, that's a great segue, because Beth, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about, you know, this is our big time, right? We've been building up to this all year, the legislative session. Can you talk a little bit about relationships with our elected officials, what that means, what we were able to get done last year, what we hope to get done this year?
We have a really supportive and responsive delegation. Our state representatives, our state senator, Emily Alvarado, is newer to the legislature and has been such a champion for us. really carried our water last session when she saw the appropriation for the increased water taxi service. She got that money, worked really closely with Teresa Mosqueda, our King County Council member. Together, they really came through for Vashon. Representative Joe Fitzgibbon is a member of leadership and has been keeping his ear to the ground to hear what we need and making sure on kind of a higher level that those requests break through the legislature. And then we have relationships with other members. Representative Greg Nance is no longer the most freshman member of the legislature since this last election, but he has made it a point to be really engaged with ferry dependent communities and work with us on solutions. Senator Mark Olias is the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee. He lives and represents Mukilteo, has a ferry terminal in his district, and is really well-versed, really understands both from the Washington State Ferries side, but also from communities who are really in crisis and suffering when service is disrupted or delayed. So I am really hopeful. We have worked to nurture those relationships. We have regular meetings with staff and leadership, and I think that is something we can point to as one of the reasons we've had success over the last year.
So I just want to say, when we said Beth helped open doors, when we have a meeting with one of these legislators, they hug Beth. I mean, this is not, you know, this isn't suit and ties time. This is, oh, Beth, my dearest friend. And we thank you for it, Beth. Thank you.
Yes, we do.
Well, Beth, speaking of that, you folks are known as the Islanders for Ferry Action. Now, there was another group, or was it a former group, that Fix Our Ferries? What's the difference, and where are we going from there?
Great question. So Islanders for Ferry Action is your local Vashon team who's working to get solutions specifically for Vashon Maury Island. We're really attuned to the local needs. Fix Our Ferries is a broader coalition that we formed. We feel like we can find common ground with other ferry-dependent communities from San Juan Islands to Bremerton. There are things that we all need and can advocate. So when we agree on just a set of basic principles like transparency and accountability, and then we join together and use all our voices to call for these, we can get system-wide change. So the umbrella group that we're working under is Fix Our Ferries, and includes dozens of communities across Puget Sound.
Well, it appears to me that you're going to have a lot more strength if you're having all of the communities working together, correct?
Yeah, precisely.
And, you know, the one thing that I was so impressed about, one meeting that I think Craig, you emceed, where we were first getting started with this endeavor. And one of the things that I was so impressed with, and I think it just reflects back on your group, the fact that you're looking at positive changes rather than just griping about the ferries and pitchforks and torches. You guys are coming up with active solutions that will work for the ferry system and for us, I mean, for the island. I was very impressed with that. And I'm happy to see you guys working with the other communities to do that. So
I think it's really important that we acknowledge when we have small, even incremental progress. Mm-hmm. We say thank you. We acknowledge the contributions of members of our elected officials and others in the community who are pitching in. And it's going to take all of us, but it's important to just recognize we're not there yet, but we are making progress. We're on the way.
Absolutely. Just to make any difference at all is amazing.
Absolutely.
I can tell you that because when I was shoveling coal for the mosquito fleet, yeah, you know, we were getting nowhere.
Look, Rick, I remember going to a meeting over at Fauntleroy, and it was, I can't even remember the group, but you know, you guys, I think you were working on it, came up with that wonderful triangle route schedule.
Yeah.
And the ferry people just poof, blew it off, like you're not even there.
You know, Sadly, yes.
I was astounded.
But, so I do think it's important that we recognize that most of the people at Washington State Ferries, especially the people that drive the boats mm-hmm. and make that all happen, they're good people.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the bureaucracy is... I know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I would never blame anybody for being angry about this situation.
No.
We're all angry, or we wouldn't have the energy to do this. but we have a program, a little promotional kind of a thing. Don't squawk on the dock. It is not the person who's taken your ticket or trying to get you into the correct lane, or is up moving the steering wheel or the boat, or you know, shoveling coal. No, they don't use coal. Down below decks, it's not them, and they hate being in this position.
Oh, yeah.
They hate it. So we really encourage people to be positive about the people that are doing their utmost to help us, serve us as public servants. Despite the challenges, because it's no fun out there.
And it does make a difference. We do need those torches and pitchforks, but we just sort of need them funneled into emails and calls to our legislators, who ultimately have a lot of control in some ways around at least the appropriations, and they need our energy. They do need that. And so you can always tune into any of the Chamber social channels, Chamber of Commerce social channels on Instagram, Facebook, and we are we've always got action for you to take.
Great.
Wendy, I got a question, a little confused. We talked about Islands for Ferry Action, which is what three of you are involved in. There's Fix Our Ferries, the larger group that involves all these organizations that are affected by all the locations in Puget Sound that are affected by ferries. There's also the Ferry Advisory Committee to the Washington State Ferries, which I understand you're on.
That's
Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit in?
Well, that was established, I don't remember how many years ago it was established, but basically it was an accountability feature that the legislature wanted to bring into pass, that just, you know, so there's communication between the communities that are served by the ferry and the ferry system. And the design, we meet quarterly with, we have a elected chairperson who meets more regularly, I think more frequently, I don't think it's every month, but close to that, with the ferry leadership. And the Ferry Advisor Committee meets quarterly on the island. We meet typically at the Land Trust building, and we talk about the issues. We have a representative, by and large via Zoom, from Washington State Ferries there to answer our questions, to bring to us information that they have that may represent a change in ferry procedure or policy. It's a good place to bring up the fact that, you know, for a year and a half now, I've been asking for cameras down at the south end, and we're still working on that. I'm still working on that. I bring it up every Ferry Advisory Committee meeting. So we're advocates in a way. But as I've said before, our hands are tied, because we can only communicate in the meeting and make requests in the meeting. And the follow-up is sometimes there, but it's not consistent. And I think we've had the Fix Our Ferries and Islanders for Ferry Actions has a better method and a better, I guess we're more flexible in the way that we communicate with them and can resolve some of the issues in the community.
I don't mean to denigrate that committee, but I just know over the years it's had a fair turnover.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
If you can't affect change, I do think Islanders for Ferry Action has made the FACs more apparent to Washington State Ferries. I do think it's important that we seek changes in the way we work together. And I think that is one of our priorities.
Well, I think that's huge. I mean, that was the one thing that I was most impressed with, was when Amy came in and started talking about meeting with the Fauntleroy folks, meeting with the people up at Friday Harbor. I mean, getting everyone involved has got to be, and good on your group for doing that, because you are the guys who put this together.
Well, good on Amy.
Exactly.
Amy has done, I mean, it's great that we've raised money to fund her position now, mm-hmm. but she started working through the chamber, and so Cheryl and folks like that that brought this together. Amy has been a just on-point advocate and has just touted all of the, she's been focused and helpful and runs a great team. So I am very appreciative of her work.
Tip of the spear.
There you go. Well, you know, carrying that electric cattle prod really helps, doesn't
right?
it? Yeah, I noticed that. So, Amy, that does give us down to the 2025 session. What in the world? What's going on? What can we do? What's happening? What are we looking for?
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of fixing the FACs is part of our agenda for the 2025 session. We will have a bill that we will hopefully be introducing that will address some of what's going on with the FACs. We're working to put together a bill that will hope to address some transparency and accountability and give some concrete tactics for how we can see a little more clearly into the Washington State Ferry decision-making and oversight, and particularly around scheduling and when boats come and when they don't, and reliability versus on-time performance. But just kind of what we've got coming up, I want to reflect quickly on, you know, what the group was able to accomplish last year with Islanders' support. And again, that with Islanders' support is the clutch. But we were able to get that midday water taxi schedule expansion funding for fixing and revising the two-boat schedule. We were part of the tailwinds to get the legislature to invest in bringing more, you know, able-bodied sea folks onto the boats. So there has been some change, and it's going to continue to be slow. I think, you know, Rick's note about persistence is sort of the hallmark here, mm-hmm. is none of this, everything that we're doing here happens at the pace of government. And that is incredibly frustrating when you are the last car on the dock and you miss your medical appointment that you can't reschedule for 6 weeks, mm-hmm. right? So we, you know, we feel that urgency and we're trying to relay that. So, you know, our goals for the year were to hold Washington State Ferries to their funded mandate to revise the two-boat schedule. And we are hoping there's been we've heard that perhaps the March 2025 with the spring sailing schedule that we will have a revised two-boat schedule. And we have Vash honked loud and clear that gap, right, that two-hour gap in the middle of the day is mm-hmm. a huge problem with the schedule. So we are doing that. We are also working very hard to keep the midday water taxi schedule, right? We want to keep that, but we want to expand it. And we've heard from Islanders that weekend service and late night service is the top priority in addition to that. So we actually are building some coalition with folks around the Sound over in Des Moines, to kind of work on ways that we can keep and expand that. And also the Fauntleroy Dock, it gets lost a little bit, but they are going to be renovating the Fauntleroy Dock. And we can all imagine the nightmares that come with that in the short term. But in the long term, we need to fix Fauntleroy, right? We need the largest option dock that they've got going on there. We cannot build a dock that holds fewer cars than it does now. And that's on the table. We have got to get that off the table. We have got to fix Fauntleroy. And then, of course, lead efforts to unite ferry-affected communities. So we are planning a couple lobby days along with our Fix Our Ferries Coalition. We have Bremerton. We have the San Juans. Obviously, we're pushing as hard as we can. We just heard, after months of trying, have just heard from Bainbridge. We have heard from someone in Bainbridge, which is exciting. And we are reaching out to some of the FACs as well. So we're going to bring, you know, as many voices as we can to Olympia to really give our legislators the tailwinds they need. So please, please, please stay plugged in. Visit the Chamber of Commerce page. Go to the Islanders for Ferry Action. You can also visit fixourferries.org. and get in there. But we are going to need all of Vashon's voices to make change in Olympia. That is what has led to our success that we have had in any way, and that will be the success of the future.
So just real quickly, you mentioned the water taxi. Now, obviously, that's King County. Did I hear you say that there's some funding going to be coming from the state?
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting the way the water taxi, at least the expansion has worked. Of course, it's a King County program now, but a lot of subsidy comes through the state. And, of course, there's the Kitsap Fast Ferries, and those, you know, have been sort of up and running. And lo and behold, we learned that the opportunity to have so many fast ferries was due to a subsidy from the state, right? The state kicked over $5 million to Kitsap County. And so last year, Representative Alvarado was able to get us in on a little bit of that action and get us about $3 million to expand the midday schedule. So we are actually working now with Representative Nance, who he represents Kitsap and Bainbridge. And, you know, he is the original Fix Our Ferries guy. Man, that is the banner that he is carrying. It is the flag that he waves. He is an amazing advocate for the boats. We have a fighter jet in the legislature pulling for the ferries. So he is, we might be working with him around some options to expand water taxi funding through the state overall to include our friends up in the San Juans. Their inter-island ferry service, Washington State Ferry Service, is tragic. I'm just going to use the word tragic. Right. They, you know, imagine you got home and you couldn't get to Maury Island. Right. That's what they've got going on. So they have community water taxi. So we're looking at ways, you know, perhaps we can set up a block grant program so that, you know, we can really work around Washington State ferries. We're not going to get new ferries for years. So what can we do? And water taxi is a way to at least keep folks moving.
Great.
Let me touch upon a touchy subject.
Yes.
The touchy subject is, I don't think anybody really in the right mind wants unreliable ferry service. And I think virtually everybody on the island would like to return to a reliable three-boat schedule. But there are individuals who are concerned about too much ferry service. Not a problem we've been facing. But there has been for many years a concern that where there was, again, the whole issue of building a bridge. And people goes, no, we don't want to build a bridge. Well, some people did. Governor Rosalini did. I remember telling him, Governor, you already have a bridge. You don't get another one with your name on it. Yeah. But there are individuals who are concerned about too much ferry service. I don't see that in our future. But it's something to keep in mind. Do you ever run into that? Do you ever get feedback on that subject?
I just want to interject really quickly. I have heard it. And, you know, my question back is, when has a decline or a lack of government services ever helped the poorest and most vulnerable among us?
Exactly.
Right. And with Vashon, you know, gentrification is not even looming. It is here. And we are driving a larger and larger wedge between the haves and the have-nots on Vashon. And, you know, it is the folks who have more resources, who have some kind of way to adapt to poor ferry service, unreliable ferry service. It is the folks who do not have the resources to adapt who are hit the hardest by that. So I
agree with you 100%. Yeah, and yeah. I think most people do. The issue that some people are concerned about is if you got everything that you wanted in terms of reliable service,
it would be like it was in the 90s.
Would you want more?
Yeah. No. We are going for what it was in the 90s. Think about when you could, you know, when we could bring workers over here, when workers could, you know, move back and forth in a stable, reliable way. You know, you think about when small businesses on the island can't get delivery companies to bring food over, right? That does not serve islanders.
Well, and also, you know, I mean, I rode the ferries a lot for my business in the 90s and, you know, beyond. And it was always reliable. I could, within 10, 15 minutes, it was always on time. I think what we're looking for is a two-boat schedule is not going to solve our needs. I don't care how good the two-boat schedule is. You're not going to move people efficiently. We need three boats. They've proven it. They know that they need three boats. So that's one of our goals. But we have to remember that 58% of our, over 50% of the people that live on this island are over 58 years old. And access to medical care is one of the biggest issues that we have on this island. And we need a reliable service to help support that. The water tax has been fantastic. And when you look at what the King County is doing for us now in terms of they've aligned the metro with runs with the water taxi, but we're working with them to do more. Teresa Mosqueda has recently got $50,000 in the rider in the budget to study a commuter system, basically running a commuter type of van around the outside areas, you know, just the Wax Orchard, maybe going to Dockton, going up Ridge Road, around in places like that, that will get us access up to the water taxi. So we're trying to do things that meet people where they're at, solve issues that, and the water taxi is probably a little bit better, more viable for us too. It gets people out of cars if we can get these commuter things. So there's a lot of stuff that we're working on. And I will point out the water taxi, the bill was passed in March. By July, we had increased water taxi service. So government can be effective and efficient. And that's an example of it. So we're just trying to make things better and recognize the people that live here and how we can do that.
So, Craig, the idea of having too much transportation access, it's astonishing to me. Well, maybe not astonishing. It's important to point out that the North End and South End ferries are state highways, State Route 160 and State Route 163. They are officially highways. So if somebody went out and blocked a bridge on I-5, guess what? It would be a priority. It wouldn't be a matter of increasing service. It would be a matter of restoring service to the 90s, in our case, would be just great. This is a basic function of government. And sadly, unfortunately, the state government has let it degrade, and that's the solutions that we're offering are designed to bring that back. Sure. It's not to have more people have fancy houses on Vashon.
I just want to point out one, I think, an important piece of context, and that is if you ask a legislator why we're in this crisis today, they will tell you that it is due in part to Tim Iman's CARTAB initiative in 1999, which effectively cut state transportation revenue. And legislators, unfortunately, have not filled that in. They haven't looked at sustainable sources of revenue. This year, the state legislature is facing a $10 to $12 billion budget shortfall. That's over the next 4 years. So we're going to be facing that as we go into the legislative session, and we're going to need more funding.
Yeah.
Reliable sources.
That's right.
And Craig, you hinted a much larger discussion, I think, about Vashon that is so incredibly important to have. But here we are at the end of our hour. So I want to give a little bit, before all of our thank yous, want to give a little bit of a preview. Bruce, are you bringing us our Brown Briefly next week?
Yes, indeed. We've got the indomitable Betty Edwards coming in to talk about Santa's
Yay,
Cottage and sort
Betty.
Of the bringing the Winterfest and all that kind of stuff to Vashon. So it'll be exciting. And if
but
you
is
know
she bringing
Betty,
a bucket of candy? That's the season
that,
we're in.
That will be the request,
on.
Right?
Stocking stuffer.
Cannot think of a better person to help us ring in holiday cheer on Vashon than Betty Edwards. So we are very grateful for your time, Rick, Beth, and Wendy today, not just today, but for all the time you give to fix our ferries. And we hope that folks will tune in again next week to the Brown Briefly here on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9, also streaming live at voiceofvashon.org. So for Truman, Wendy, Beth, Rick, Bruce, Craig, I am Amy, also signing off for our friend Kevin Jones, and we will see and hear you next week.